Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking about the one, the only, the famous, the nationally renowned performance consultant, speaker, and award-winning author, John Brubaker, or Coach Brew, as we like to call him. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Can you say all that again? That sounded really good.
You know,
I don't hear that kind of thing at home.
It's pretty good. You know, if you thought about it, we're going to talk about your book, which has the stadium in it. Think about it. And now, nationally orientated performance consultant, speaker, and award-winning author. Right? You can have some fun with that.
You should. You are stadium status, first of all. But you should be announcing in stadiums.
I would love that. My wife would go, yeah, that would be a scary thought for her. But as you said, not quite the same answer here as there.
No.
Just the way it is. So we're talking about your new book, Stadium Status, Taking Your Business to the Big Time. First of all, let's start with the basics. You've been on the show before, so I'm not going to have to go down the basics of that. But what possessed you to write another book?
It's Maine. We're indoors a lot in the winter. It gets dark really early, David.
Okay, so John's trying not to sell this book. It's going to today's about no. I get that.
In all seriousness, it's a great question. In all seriousness, what inspired me to write the book was, you know, as an author, speaker, we're always looking for good ideas, good stories, good content, and I think sometimes the student is the teacher. And my wife and I have been reading to our kids. We have two little girls, age 10 and 13 now. Been reading to our kids since they're in the womb, like before they're born, and every night. So my oldest daughter, Meredith, was 10 years old at the time, ran out of books one night, literally read everything on her bookshelf. And while we read, we listen to Pandora Radio on the iPad. Nothing else to read. She just pops open the About the Artist page. Like the artist bios.
Sure. Yeah, the bios, yeah.
And she's her father's daughter. She loves two things, sports and country music. So we're listening to country music. She's reading these stories of, like, rising from, you know, obscurity to national prominence, overcoming struggle, adversity, just challenges that the average Joe or the average Jane, like us, experiences every day, every year in our careers. And she just looks at this. She's like, this is fascinating. This should be your next book. And I laughed. I'm like, yeah, that's funny. You know, she's like, no, really, like, you don't think your clients and your audience you speak to could learn from some of these stories? So sometimes the best ideas, you know, the students, the teacher, started writing, started interviewing some artists, started interviewing some other stadium status performers. And what I mean by that is people who call the stadium their office. I'm a coach. I work now with executives, but earlier in my career, I worked with athletes and teams, and the stadium's unique environment. So I think that there's a lot that business owners and leaders can learn from high performers in another arena. See what I did there? Arena.
That was good. Yeah. Yeah. Stadium, arena.
So that was the genesis of the idea. And you think about struggle, quick story. Westergren, the founder of Pandora, founded Pandora Internet Radio as we know it today, right after the dot-com bust. After the bust, like worst time possible. Got rejected for financing over 350 times. Couldn't find, you know, venture capital, no angel investor, nothing. Decided to forego salary for a couple of years. Fast forward to 2011. That company's worth billions, and they have now today like 81 point something million fans or customers, as we would call them. But it's just, you know, the struggle, and we all go through it, and it's just a matter of persevering. So there are countless stories like that in the book, along with stories about my clients and strategies I use as well.
So when you're talking about stadium and you're talking about, you know, taking your business to the big time, as you put it, you know, one of the things that hold people back is their belief in it will actually happen, right? Or they believe too much, that it's too easy, right? It's too easy. It's, you know, it must not be. It's kind of like the lottery. Yeah, it's easy to buy a ticket, but the odds are so high, why even bother sometimes? How does this book look at some of the basic undertows through examples of how a individual can really say, okay, I can, even in a small business, take it to the big leagues?
Absolutely. I'll give you a great example. And, you know, Stephen Covey said, begin with the end in mind. So a great example of that from the book is there's a little band in a tiny little eastern North Carolina town called Parmalee, North Carolina. The band's named after the town, Parmalee. Tiny, like one horse, one stoplight kind of town.
Sure.
And I was interviewing, talking with their front man, Matt Thomas. And so he's like, so this book, what's the name of it? I said, it's called Stadium Status. And he said, we've always looked, even when we were like doing local gigs at the VFW or wherever, we've always viewed our careers and our business from the stadium backwards. So begin with the end in mind. They envisioned themselves as Stadium Status long before they were ever, you know, even playing small auditoriums. And I think that's what we all have to do, because our business is only going to grow, our career is only going to grow to the size of our vision.
So, you know, when people think about their vision, a lot of people have expectations. They have reality that sets in, right, that we call the reality of life that comes in. Talk to me a little bit about how these questions, you know, how these stories within the book and how you as a coach come across to talk to them about taking a vision and turn it into reality.
A great example, and I love to shine a spotlight on my clients.
Sure, of course.
When I can. A great example of that would be one of my clients is a member of the House of Representatives, Nathan Wadsworth. He's in Hiram, and he ran for House of Representatives six or seven years ago and got elected, and he ran for re-election this past year. And he realized, like, the game's changed. You can't expect different results doing the same thing. So, like, he realized we've got to take a different approach. So we kind of doubled down on social media. And if you're thinking this is a story about politics, it's not. We're all running for election. You know, it's sales and marketing.
So true. It's all sales and marketing. Selling yourself.
Yeah. And so doubled down on social media. And that's a big part of where the game has changed for every brand, every business, every individual, really. And also realized we've got to do something to stand out, make a splash in this seemingly small market. And so we decided, you know what you need? You need a mascot. You need something that's just going to make people say, what's that? Who is that? So we got a colonial man costume and had a mascot march in the parade alongside him in this colonial man costume passing out candy. And what it wasn't a marketing ploy. It's deeply tied into the fact that he's sixth generation in town of Hiram, and his fifth great-grandfather is General Peleg Wadsworth, who fought in the American Revolution. He's one of the first senators our country has known. And it's creating that sort of pattern interruption, if you will, like, mascot? Who? What? What is that? To get people to ask questions. And if you get people, you know, David, in sales and in human resources, you get people asking questions, good questions, you got them hooked. And you just need to have a good story and a good answer that's authentic. So it spoke to his authenticity. It made a splash in the market where all you ever see are the same old advertisements littering the roadside and, you know, on Facebook or on, the mainstream media. It's different. And I think we all have to figure out how we can be different. Otherwise, we're just going to be invisible.
And what that really ties into is the fact that this is a leadership book more than it is even just storytelling, if you want to tell. It's really about how people and leaders change, right? And how they develop and how they evolve into making it to their dreams, making it to their vision, making it to their destination, if you want to call it, to the stadium of life.
Absolutely.
In this particular case. So as we talk about the leadership side of this for a second, what are one or two key, you know, if you want to talk about takeaways that somebody that reads the book would say, these are two themes of leadership that I can take away from this book?
Sure. And I look at this book as, you know, leadership book, business book. It's really the anti-business book. And what I mean by that is it's not all theory and no practice. I just gave you a client example.
Sure.
That's actionable by anybody, really. And that's what this book is. It's not, you know, cute metaphors like chicken soup and cheese and things like that. It's nuts and bolts, meat and potatoes. So a couple really actionable items are things. So I'll backtrack. I think the biggest takeaway for anyone is, as a leader, making it about others. You know, we think stadium status is making it about yourself. It's about making it about others.
Now, I agree with you there, 100%.
And this is a strategy I use when I'm speaking to an audience. This is a strategy straight out of the book that a stadium status performer uses. It's also a strategy anyone can use. You ever seen Garth Brooks in concert?
I've not seen him in concert. I think I've seen it on TV, but not actually in concert.
So he's an amazing. Before he hangs it up permanently, you need to see him, even if you're not a country music fan. He's not the greatest voice. He's not the greatest guitar player, but he's great at fan and audience engagement. And every great leader needs to be great at employee, fan, audience, insert any of those words, engagement. So what he does the morning of a show when they're setting up the stage and loading in all the equipment at whatever tour stop they're at, you'll see a guy up in the nosebleeds of the stadium sitting in that obstructed view seat wearing sweats and a ball cap, sipping a cup of coffee, just staring down at the stage. And he's not like watching to make sure they're doing their job right, loading the speakers or the lights or whatever. He's not micromanaging. He's sitting in the worst seat in the house to get the lowest paying ticket holder's perspective of where he's going to be that night. So I've seen Garth Brooks in Mellon Arena, a small arena, and I've seen him with a couple million people in Central Park. And trust me, I didn't have great seats either time, but you really felt like he was singing right to you. You really felt like he was connecting with the worst seat in the house. So imagine if the CEO can connect with the custodian and the grounds crew as well as he connects with his CFO. Imagine if, as a small business owner, you connect with your worst paying customer as well as you connect with and engage with your, quote, key account. It's a strategy anyone can use.
Well, it really is about seeing it from their perspective,
Absolutely.
Not your perspective, right?
It's undercover boss before there was ever undercover
exactly
boss.
Exactly right, right? It's about really understanding that people look at you through different lenses and that their perspective of you, whether if in the lower seat or at the front seat, right in the front row, is going to be different, but you're trying to provide them with an experience.
Now, here's the really cool thing about what Brooks does, and it's pure genius. Is and he did this before he retired, semi-retired,
and
he's done it now that he's come back. Is he doesn't have it written into the contract that this is part of his deal. He pays for it out of pocket. He buys a group of front row seats at every stop. And he sends the usher up to the obstructed view seats and the nosebleeds of the stadium with a little flashlight and says, looks at this family of, let's say, a family of four. Can I see your tickets? I think you're in the wrong seats. And they turn around and look at their backside, and they're like, there's cinder block behind me. Does it get any worse than where I am? Like, really? And it's almost theater, David, because he then points down, like, at stage left and said, Mr. Brooks sent me up here. He has your seats down there with him tonight. Follow me. And there are four front row seats waiting for that family of four, probably blue-collar roots, who scraped and saved for 6 months to take their kids to a concert. So I saw that happen in Mellon Arena in Pittsburgh. And there's a little girl in the back row to the front row. She had no idea she was going up to the front row. She brought a flower to give to Garth Brooks. She actually thought, sitting in the nosebleed, she's going to get to see Garth Brooks and give him a flower. Well, she did. Hands it to him. You know what he does? Calls someone over from the side of the stage, takes off his guitar. He hands her his guitar and signs it with a Sharpie that his stagehand gave him. It's like a $2,000 guitar.
Oh, sure.
He gave it to, talk about like growing fans for life.
Oh, yeah.
So like who? Right. So that's my example when I share the message. Like, who are you giving your guitar away to that wouldn't be able to otherwise afford it? You know, because the word of mouth and the loyalty that you can't buy that kind of loyalty, that experience cemented for that kid and that family. It's the same thing in every single one of our businesses, no matter what industry
we're
in.
That's a great example. We're talking with John Brubaker, Coach Brew, and we're talking about his new book, Stadium Status, Taking Your Business to the Big Time. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with Coach Brew, John Brubaker, and his new book, Stadium Status, Taking Your Business to the Big Time. He's a national author, national presenter, national everything. You are just national.
Next month I'll be global.
We like the word global. We'll have you back after I have that. We'll tell you some good global experiences. We like.
I'm going really far away. Yeah, Nova Scotia.
Yeah, I was just going to say, hey, it must be Canada, right? I'm waiting for you to be overseas. You know, you could make that happen. It's all good. It's all good. So we talked a little bit about the book. Talked a little bit about, you know, why you decided to write the book, and your daughter was an inspiration in that book. You talked a little about some examples of the leadership side of it. Let's flip for a second and talk about the business side for a few seconds. So you said this is an unconventional business book, and you said that it's anti-business book, the words. Dig deeper. Tell me why in regards to what's wrong with business. Why does it have to be anti-business as a book?
I think there are so many examples of selling the sizzle and not the steak. So many books overpromise and underdeliver in the end, and you're either scratching your head at the end of the chapter or at the end of the book if you make it all the way through. And 85% of people who buy a book never read the whole thing. But if you make it all the way through, you're like, well, how can I use any of this? It's a lot of theory, but how does that apply? How can I apply it to my work? And I wanted to make sure my book wasn't like that at the end of every chapter. So the chapters are broken into three parts. Them, Coach Brew, and you. That's clever, isn't it?
Oh, very clever. Very clever.
So insert laugh track here.
Debbie can do that for me.
But what it is really is I give a stadium status example. I show how Coach Brew has either used it with his clients. Yeah, I'm using the third person to refer to myself.
It's okay.
Or I've used it in my business, and then I show you how you can apply the wisdom in your business. And at the end of the chapter, they're what we call stadium steps. Three steps that you can take right away. You don't even have to wait to go to the next chapter. Take it right away that you can use to move your ball
and
a little closer.
Apply right
there. You can move your ball a little closer to the end zone.
When somebody's going through the book and they're saying, okay, I kind of get it. I've gone through and see how you've used it. I get three steps. Does each story build upon itself, or are they all separate?
Everything builds upon itself. That's a great question. I probably should have prefaced all that by saying there are three sections to the book. And the three sections are, in order, vision, execution, and most importantly, connection. But if you don't have a vision, you're never going to get the execution right. And if you don't get the first two things right, the connection is never going to matter.
And so you're talking about the connection to the client, connection to the customer, connection
Absolutely.
To the employee, the connection overall. Let's break those down for a little. Let's start with the vision side of it a little bit. Why is it so important to have that vision? And look, I know that that's a basic question, and I'm not asking for a basic answer. I'm really looking for is that people sometimes start a business because either they need to, right? Because, hey, I need a job. I need to do something. I think I have something I can do. I can bake cookies. So next thing you know, I'm Mrs. Fields. I mean, seriously, it's that simple. But how does that vision come about? And is it always there to start?
I don't know that it's always there to start. I think sometimes we find our vision. Sometimes our vision finds us. You look at, and I love using musicians as examples because they're really the ultimate entrepreneurs. The ultimate leaders, they got to lead themselves. And it can be lonely. It's lonely at the top
sure.
if you're a leader
sure
listening,
is.
Isn't
no
it?
No question.
And, you know, sometimes they had another career that just didn't pan out. You know, Sam Hunt is a great example of that. He was a star quarterback at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. He was on track for a career in the NFL. He had a free agent tryout with Kansas City Chiefs. That didn't pan out for him. He picked up a guitar. He had just been kind of playing around with the guitar, singing a little bit, maybe in church, in college, you know, some local gigs at the little bar. But he picked up a guitar and he said, yeah, I'm going to move to Nashville. I'm going to become a songwriter. And he ended up becoming probably the biggest stadium status performer of, you know, the past couple of years. So I think in that case, his vision found him. And in other instances, our vision finds us. Or we find our vision, I should say.
So then we're talking about execution because that is ultimately probably the hardest part, if you want, in my opinion. It's one thing to have a vision, and it's another thing to even connect to people because some people are natural connectors. Yeah. The execution actually takes work, right? That's the hard part. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think the execution absolutely is the hard part. The devil's in the details. And it's easy to get sidetracked, especially today. You look at all the distractions we deal with in our work environment between social media, technology. And I understand they're necessary evils, but there's a time and a place for them. Otherwise, it takes away from your ability to simply, you know, chop wood, carry water, so to speak. Chop wood, carry water before enlightenment. I think the Dalai Lama said, after enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. It might have been him. But I think that speaks really simply to execution. That's just what you do. So before stadium status, you got to execute your vision day in, day out. After you reach that breakthrough to that next level, you still got to execute. You know, a great example, I had the opportunity to interview the band Low Cash and their tour manager, Barry LaFoy. We're talking. And he said, you're only as good as your last single. Yeah, and I think that the example within that for businesses, you're only as good as the last sale. You're only as good as your last leadership initiative, you know, in the corporate environment. And it's about what's next. You got to keep taking those baby steps. Otherwise, you get left behind.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, execution. And some coaches will say there's a little bit of luck to execution. Because stars have to align sometimes, and you have to have the finances on the backside. Or you have, there's a lot of parts. And you talk about some of the challenges of getting some of the basics, right, to build a business or build a career or build singing, right, that you have to be heard by the right person, seen by the right person, connected the right way. We're going to talk about connecting in a minute. How does one take a look at that and say, how do I mold my future rather than guess my future?
Well, some say it's luck and the stars aligning. I would argue it's timing and entry point that just looks an awful lot like luck from the outside looking in. And you look at any career, you're getting in at the right time and entering in the right place. That's really the key to success. And that takes, we'll go back to vision while we're talking about execution, but that takes vision to then take those steps forward. So, you know, from the execution side of things, you know, there's a lot to be said for practicing, training in the corporate environment beyond boredom. So as a college coach of 12 years, I can tell you the most difficult thing I could get athletes to do is continue to practice the fundamentals beyond the point of boredom. 5, 10 minutes into a drill, 2, 3 weeks into a season. But it's that muscle memory, it's the repetition that creates excellence.
Oh, it's a military strategy as well. I mean, that's what the military does, is constantly repeating the same thing until it becomes muscle memory.
You don't rise to the occasion. You sink to your level of training.
That's exactly right. So let's talk about the connection piece, because this is such an important piece. You can be a really good visionary. You can have great execution. Mm-hmm. But if you don't connect and you don't stay relevant in that connection, it's all for naught. So talk about that.
Well, it isn't enough just to paint the picture as a leader. You know, it's not enough to paint the picture for your organization and to have this mandate come down from above on a stone tablet, so to speak, in the old days. But you've got to paint people into the picture. And even more so, you've got to let them help paint the picture. Because people support a world they help create. And one of the biggest challenges we have today in corporate America is getting employees, particularly millennials. Some people think that's a four-letter word. I don't. I think they're grossly misunderstood. But getting millennials to take emotional ownership of their job, to treat it like they own the company when they're, quote, just a employee. And, you know, I think your greatest liabilities are really assets. Your greatest challenge is really your greatest opportunity. And I just came back from Bradenton, Florida. I was speaking to the Pittsburgh Pirates coaching staff. They asked me to come down and speak on ownership because this is a theme they're trying to drive home. And they are all, you know, 30-something to 50-something, 60-something in some cases, adult males trying to connect with an entire organization. Basically, their employees are all millennials. And what I shared with them is, ownership has changed. You know, like, look at the statistics. Home ownership's at an all-time low. Car ownership is at a 40-year low. You know, in a dozen years or so, we're all going to be just borrowing each other's cars. Self-driving cars are going to be a thing. So millennials don't buy CDs, DVDs. They get everything in the cloud. They basically rent space in the cloud. So you, as a leader, are coaching, training, managing an entire largest generation in the workforce today, an entire generation of renters. How do you get them to emotionally own their job? Well, I think how you do it is you understand the fact that 70% of all millennials place a much higher value on experiences than things.
That's absolutely true.
So you just have to get them to emotionally buy in by connecting, caring, loving them. Which I know is kind of an awkward word to use.
It's awkward in HR. There's no question.
Love.
But you're right.
Yeah. That's the four-letter word, love. And to show them it's worth investing emotionally in. That's the secret sauce right there. People don't get down on what they're in on.
No, it's absolutely true. You know, in the book, Chapter 5, you talk about fearless authenticity. That is something that is near and dear to the heart of anybody who understands HR and understands leadership. So give me your definition of fearless authenticity.
Being, I won't say unabashed, but being yourself to your core at all times, on stage and off stage, so to speak, regardless of the consequences. And what I mean by that is, I think the workplace, every industry is filled with a lot of companies that are just in the middle of the road, so to speak. And what happens when you're in the middle of the road is it's a really crowded space. And I like to say the only thing that should be in the middle of the road, as far as you're concerned, if you're listening, are yellow lines and roadkill. Like, you need to just veer off, blaze your own trail, and go where it isn't crowded. And that's by being yourself. So many brands are trying to be, quote, the next Google, the next Amazon, the next whatever, instead of fearlessly being
who they are,
the best version of themselves.
No, you're absolutely right. And that is, to me, one of the secret sauces, right, in regards to being an HR professional, being a business leader, you know, and really looking at, hey, how can I make sure that somebody sees me for who I am, and that that becomes somebody who can see the stadium from a visionary perspective and then execute to get there.
One of the coolest things we have going on in Maine right now from a fearless authenticity perspective in business is the microbrew industry in Portland. It's just named the number one
in the world
beer city in the world.
In the world.
Yeah.
It just came up.
And when you look at their marketing, their branding, how they approach their particular, each of these craft breweries approach their particular beers, it's fearless authenticity. They are who they are. They're not shipyards. They're not trying to be somebody else. They're being themselves. And here's the coolest part of all of that, and I actually reference this in the book, is they're all rooting for each other. They're located on a lot of them, in some cases, the same street. Someone runs out of materials, they can borrow some hops from their neighbor, so to speak. Like, kind of like when we were really in communities a few generations ago, you need to borrow a cup of sugar from your neighbor, you just walk across the street. But they realize that true success is rooting for everybody. It's abundance, not scarcity, as opposed to a lot of other
industries. Abundance mentality, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is, abundance mentality. And it does make a huge difference in a mindset. Which is part of what we're talking about. We're talking with Coach Brew. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and we're talking with the one, the only. Do you want me to go through the whole stadium thing I did before? You want me to go to... No?
Coach it's Brew. Your show. I'm just sitting in the chair next to you.
John Brubaker, Coach Brew, and we're talking about his new book, Stadium Status, Taking Your Business to the Big Time. I'll do it in the last segment, okay? We'll do it in the last segment. You know, this book, as you said, really has been not only about a leadership book, an anti-business book, about giving people some of the answers to the test right before they do it. You also talk, it's about you and what you've done with your clients, what you are doing and what you've learned over the years. That also came into the play of, hey, it's a book and you need to promote it. You need to put it out there. And you're trying new things based upon some of the things in the book. Talk about that.
Sure. So what we did during the pre-launch is there's so many books out there, and this is my sixth book. And what I realized is you can't do the same thing and expect a different result. That's the definition of insanity, right?
That's exactly right.
So I think Norman Einstein might have said that, or yeah.
I'm not exactly sure who, but I'm just saying I've heard it before,
so
quote unquote.
Got to be different or be invisible, and I think we get our best, the whole premise of this book, we get our best ideas from outside our industry. So it's not enough to just say, hey, I have a new book out. It's a, quote, leadership book, a business book. The shelves are, there are thousands of books that released on the same day that my book released, thousands of business books. So we got to be different, and we have to offer more. So what I've done is I created a promotion where, you know, we're gonna. You remember Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
I do.
Right? What did Willy do inside the wrapper of some of the candy bars?
I put a golden ticket.
Yeah. So we put a golden ticket in one of the books, and somebody won a 3-day, 2-night stay at the Henderson Beach Resort in Destin, Florida. Compliments of yours truly.
Nice.
And the Henderson Beach Resort. So we did that for promotion during the pre-order stage. But it wasn't just like one prize. We had some silver ticket promotions. We gave away 12 custom dress shirts. We gave away 24 stadium status t-shirts. And I just think that when we talked about painting people into the picture, you don't have an opportunity just to get a business book. You might be sent on vacation. You might win a custom dress shirt from Lawrence Hunt Fashions, men's and women's dress shirts. It's a shirt I'm wearing right now. And $24 for a book? Well, what else can I get? You know? So we're going to also, now that we've gone through the launch and we've given away our gold and silver and bronze tickets, we're just going to take a page out of Garth Brooks' playbook. We're going to surprise and delight somebody that was sitting in the back row, so to speak. So someone's going to win a pair of cowboy boots from Anderson Bean.
Nice.
They don't know who they are yet. It's just some person that buys one copy of the book. They're going to win like a $300 pair of boots. And we're also going to give away an Ergotron standing desk, standing workstation. It's a huge value for a $24 book. You could be different or be invisible. And where I got that idea wasn't just from Willy Wonka. There's a country duo called Montgomery Gentry. And what they realized a couple albums ago, this is back when people actually got in their car and drove to a brick and mortar store that sold physical copies of music. It sold vinyl and CDs and cassettes. So when their new album came, at the time when their new album came out, they put a golden ticket inside one of those CD cases. So for all you listening who don't know what a CD is, it's like what happened before iTunes.
Yeah. It's before cassettes.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's cassettes were before that. Yep. And before that, it was actually a record vinyl, which is actually popular again.
There's a resurgence of that.
It is.
So what they did was they realized we can't just sell a CD. Everyone's releasing. I think music comes out on Thursdays. There are thousands of other albums, CDs coming out on that same Thursday as them. We've got to do something to create a buzz that's different. So they did a pre-order golden ticket campaign, partnered with a company called Demented Cycles, like custom choppers.
Yeah, nice.
So Montgomery and Gentry literally designed a $150,000 custom chopper that one lucky person who bought a $15 CD won when they found a golden ticket in it.
It's amazing, really.
So this is before the internet and things went, quote, viral on social media. Their album literally went viral through word of mouth and through the mainstream media at a time when there are far bigger acts in music releasing music. But the media was talking about them because they're surprising, delighting, over-delivering. So I think doing, you know, status quo, then the lesson for everyone is status quo just isn't enough anymore. We got surprise, delight, over-deliver in a crazy way.
You know, you mentioned, and this goes back to the last segment, millennials, right? It's about the experience, right? So this surprise and delight feeds right into the experience psyche of a millennial. And by the way, you know, I've said this, and we talk about generational differences all the time. The reality is let's be honest, every generation, every human likes surprise and delight, right? I mean, that's the reality. Everybody likes surprise and delight. It's just a little more pronounced in the millennial generation.
Absolutely.
You know, in terms of what that is. So we're talking with Coach Bruce, stadium status, taking your business to the big time. John, what is one or two other specific things that you have put in the book from your specific area, your life, what you're doing, that you can talk about?
Before we jump into that, I want to make sure everybody knows, like, you don't have to give away a three-day, two-night stay at a resort. You don't have to give away a $150,000 motorcycle to surprise and delight people. It could be something as simple as what U.S. Cellular does from time to time. They have a surprise and delight campaign. I went into my local Starbucks one day, this a couple of years ago, and I went to pay for my coffee, and they said, "Oh, no, your coffee's free." And I'm thinking, like, I got a rewards point or something on my gold card. And they said, no, somebody's buying your drink. They're paying for everyone's coffee for the next hour. And I said, "Who is it?" Like, "He doesn't want you to know, but he's sitting in the corner." So I went and I introduced myself and thanked the guy. His name's Aaron Willett, and he works at U.S. Cellular in Auburn. And I said, "Why are you doing that?" He said, "My boss kicked me out of the office today, and he told me to go do something good in the community for people who may or may not ever become our customers and can't pay us back in any way."
Wow.
And that speaks to the experience.
Culture.
He's a millennial.
Yeah.
And he's doing this. And so, you know, let's say 100 people went through that line over the course of a couple of hours while he's doing that. And at some point they have a problem with their device months later, or their plan ends with one of his competitors. They're going to remember that experience and his generosity. And it's, you know, so it could be for you, the listener, something as simple as buying somebody coffee or ice cream or whatever it is.
Sure, that actually happened to my wife with the car in front of her paid forward. So she paid forward to the car behind her, right? It's infectious.
Yeah, absolutely.
People love that stuff. They love to be part of surprise and delight.
Anything about the climate in our country right now? Couldn't we all use a little more of that?
A little surprise and delight would be good, yes. Yeah, especially in an environment where, you know, we're working hard, there's no question, and there's a lot to think about today.
Absolutely.
There's just a lot to think about today.
And because there's a lot to think about, I can't remember your original question.
Well, I simply said, give me an idea of one of the things, one of the examples that you've provided in the book, a top example of something that you have done that you put in the book that somebody can learn from.
The example I'd like to give you, which relates directly to the book, is if you purchase the book and you're not 100% completely satisfied with it, if you didn't find it useful, you let me know and I'm going to give you your money back. I'll buy the book back from you, $25. And I use it as an example because, number one, that's how much I believe in what I'm, quote, selling, and that these strategies work and they're useful and actionable right away. And number two, there isn't enough of that today. And what I mean by that is, how many companies have been, just think about like your customer experience over the last week or two. How many times have you had like a colossal disappointment in the customer experience and somebody under-delivered or they didn't back their product or service for you?
It happens.
It's
no question.
It is an opportunity lost.
Yes.
So a stadium status example of that, and I know they have a huge presence in New England, is a company called Field Turf. And they do an overwhelming majority of the artificial synthetic grass installations in stadiums of all kinds all over the world. When they first got started, one of their regional vice presidents was in Nebraska, and he was trying to get the University of Nebraska to come on board with Field Turf. Kept calling their then coach, retired coach, athletic director Tom Osborne. Many people might remember him as, you know, being a congressman. Calling on him, and he just was too busy, didn't have time for him. Finally, he made him an offer he can't refuse. It's not just a sales call. It's, "I need to know your availability two Thursdays from now," or whenever the date was, "because we've chartered a jet and we want to take you and show you a Field Turf installation in Maryland." Chartered a jet. this guy's serious. You know that's what
right.
he's thinking.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So he's like, all right, fine. If you'll leave me alone, I'll go do this because you've just been hounding me. And I think sometimes it's we just have to get in front of people more often and stay top of mind. So he goes and he visits this facility. And they're walking across the field. And he's like, where are you taking me? When are we gonna see this field turf stadium? This field turf field. He said, Tom, the last 5 minutes you've been walking across it and you didn't even know it was any different than the grass. And at that point he was sold.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
so
Experience
sold
right there.
He became an investor. He's a shareholder. Yeah. And he started working for them. Well, one of the largest school districts in Nebraska needed to replace the AstroTurf in their stadium shortly thereafter. Osborne's in a meeting with the vice president pitching the school district. And one of the board members says, well, this is a new product. What happens if, like, 5 years from now it falls apart? Tom Osborne looked at him and he said, here's what I'll do. And his partner tried to stop him. I'm like, no, let me answer the question. He said, no, I got this. Here's what I'll do. If that thing falls apart or anything goes wrong with it inside of 8 years, I'll pay to have it repaired or replaced out of my own pocket.
Now, standing behind the product, 100%.
Yeah. So now think about how hard sometimes businesses make it to want to buy from them, make it, from a recruiting standpoint, make someone want to go to work there.
That's right. That's right.
As opposed to making them an offer they can't refuse.
That's right. No, it is a big difference. And it makes a difference on the uptake.
Absolutely.
Right, that initial engagement, as mm-hmm. we talk about that initial engagement. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. I'm David Chulo, your host, and we're talking with John Brubaker, a Coach Brew. And I said I would say this, and now John Brubaker, nationally renowned performance consultant, speaker, and award-winning author, joins the HR Power Hour for an amazing show. Was that good, John?
Wow.
It's impressive.
I'm going to ask your producer, Debbie, to record that for me. And that's going to be what I wake up to every morning.
Perfect. Perfect. You like that?
I'm going to play that for my family every morning at breakfast.
Yeah,
because I'm not even a household name in my own household.
Your wife will be like, David, don't ever do that again. all right. So anyways, while we're having fun here on the HR Power Hour, you know, you really are talking about something that resonates, right? Mm-hmm. And so where can people get the book, first of all? Other than, of course, we'll have it on hrpowerhour.com where somebody can go to. Where can they get the book? You know, what are you doing with the proceeds? What are some of the good things that are happening?
I appreciate you asking that. You can go to stadiumstatusbook.com, and it's available there. And wherever books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, when you purchase it through stadiumstatusbook.com, what you'll also get is you'll also get a playlist, Spotify playlist, that features all the artists that are featured in the book. And you're going to receive a PDF and video download of a strategy that's literally an excerpt from the book that I brought to life in a video, which is called the Rule of Sevens or the Law of Sevens. It's something that Cowboy Troy Coleman, who's a dear friend and someone I interviewed for the book, it's a strategy that he uses that I teach people how they can bring to life in their business and their personal brand also.
So while we have an extra minute or two and we're talking with Coach Brew, John Brubaker, and about his new book. If somebody says they read the book and they say, I'd like to learn more, I'd like to talk to John. You do consulting, obviously.
Absolutely.
Talk to for a few minutes here about maybe, you know, what you do and how somebody might, you know, work with you in that area.
Sure. And I think the book is a great gateway into long-term coaching, a full-day program. Then I'm actually doing a Stadium Status Summit, which is going to be a full-day program this summer, available to you know, entrepreneurs, business owners, leaders, managers here in Maine and the surrounding area. They can go to coachbrew.com. And they can reach out to me there on social media. You know, everything's pretty much Coach Brew. That's B-R-U.
C-O-A-C-H-B-R-U.
You got it.
Yeah, Coach Brew. And we know you well here. You know, you've been a great guest on the HR Power Hour before. This is a great book. I highly recommend people go out there and read it. It's easy to read. It has really good takeaways, and so certainly endorse that. I think that's something somebody should go out there and read.
And you know, the nice thing about it is the proceeds, all the proceeds from Stadium Status go to my wife's purse. So it's for a good cause.
Well, that will get you the women vote, right? Yeah, that should get sales right there going on that point. And it will go towards purses and other assorted items, correct? Would that be the
best? Well, I have a 13-year-old daughter who's now been introduced by my wife to a store called Pink.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
See, it's not called Green.
It's called Pink.
That's right.
Yeah, yes. And it's an affiliate of Victoria's Secret, and everything's like Pink branded for teens and tweens. And so, yeah, I have a couple shopping habits I need to support. So go to stadiumstatusbook.com and buy a couple cases. Everybody, please save me.
John, thank you so much for being on the show today. Everybody after the show can go to hrpowerhour.com, and we will certainly have a link to the book. We'll have a link to John. Thanks for being a guest.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Are you a joint employer? And no, we're not talking about marijuana laws. Hi, I'm Ben Ford from VeralDana's Labor and Employment Group. In recent years, the Department of Labor has expressed an intent to chip away at the employment relationships where the employee appears to work for one company but actually works for someone else. Take fast food worker. These folks appear to be employees of the chain when in actuality they are employees of the franchise owner. What's the difference? Well, the franchise owner may have 12 employees and therefore be immune from a lot of employment law, whereas the chain would have hundreds of thousands of employees and therefore be a rich target for enforcement. So, if you have a contract with an independent party, you need to make sure that the independent party is the boss and not you. That means you don't set the schedules, make hiring decisions, or direct the work. The more you set the terms of employment, the more you become the joint employer. We'll talk about weed at work later, but you got a joint employment problem? Give us a call.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBRadio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.